Light in this present darkness, this is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio on this Thursday session. And we are continuing and concluding our study today in John chapter 6 of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Now, if you've been with us the past few days, you know there's a lot going on here. And I would encourage anyone who's not listened to the series to go back to our website at lindenurc.com and click on the radio link and you can follow. We have all the radio programs there cataloged for you to listen to at your convenience. But here in John chapter 6, Jesus is dealing with thrill seekers, sign seekers. And he has come. And they're following him for the signs that he has done. And we've evaluated this closely. That is never a good thing in the Bible. In fact, we looked at this week that these people in John 6, when they saw Jesus take these loaves of bread and this fish and feed 5,000 with that, when they saw that, we read their agenda for Jesus. They begin to call him the prophet. And they wanted to make him king. They wanted to make him king. And at that point, Jesus turns his back and he walks away. What a warning to sign seekers. What a warning to the modern prosperity gospel movement. What a warning to those who are only after the signs and the benefits that Jesus can give without understanding, without coming to him as the savior from your sins. That is the point. So we have been unpacking that this week, and we've looked at how these things are a denial of the character of the kingdom of God and what Jesus has come to do. So Jesus here feeds this 5,000, and they miss it. They miss it. They want to use Jesus to justify him for their own ends. They are conditioned followers so long as they're kept full. And you see, my friends, you know, you think of these poor people who are lured in by these false prophets who offer them these kind of things, you know, health and wealth and all these vain, empty promises. Then what happens to these poor people when they get burned? No wonder they're totally disillusioned with the church. It's no excuse, but it is a tragic phenomenon. Well, here's the picture. Here's what happens. Jesus comes to this 5,000. We know he's moved with compassion because they are like sheep without a shepherd. He knows they have come with all these false motives. He's going to end up walking away because they miss what he's doing. But deep within the recesses of who he is looking upon all of these people just like us. And he has compassion. What does he do? He looks at Philip, and knowing what he would do, he begins to test him. Where shall these buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. By now, the disciples should have caught on. Now we're directly taken to Israel in the wilderness. This whole scene is a reenactment of Exodus chapter 16 and the bread, the manna that was given. Remember what the Lord said to Moses? The children of Israel go out into the wilderness. They complain, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." Here's Jesus. He's going to feed them with physical bread. What does it mean? Where are they going to get bread that they might eat? What bread is he talking about? What was the bread that was rained down from heaven called manna, that white substance? What was that? That's what Jesus is raising. The whole scene is reenacted. Philip says 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. That even of them would have a little bit. And then another one pipes in, well, there's a young lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are those among so many? The most powerful thing happens. Jesus makes them all sit down on the grass. He takes the bread, he prays, and he gives thanks. By the way, today's Thanksgiving. Give thanks. What an application. You'll notice the emphasis there on the loaves. He gives thanks. He begins to break it, and through the disciples, disperses it to all the multitudes. And we read they had as much as they wanted. In fact, they gathered up all the fragments. I want you to notice the language. So that nothing was lost, 12 baskets were gathered. Just like the manna given to Israel in the wilderness, he fed the multitudes by changing a few loaves into so much bread that everyone had as much as they wanted. Now that is an amazing count. He filled their bellies. Many of you today will fill your bellies. And what do they believe about him? Look how good he is. He can fill our bellies and he can break us from the oppression from Rome. Well, Jesus condemns that, by the way. If you are just thanking him today because you have a lot to eat, if you are just thanking him today because he can break physical oppression, you've missed it. You've missed the purpose of Jesus Christ and his gospel. In chapter 6, he confronts this. You seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. They hear that. What do they say? What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe? What work will you do? And they cite the manna in the wilderness. Moses gave them bread to eat. Oh, they'd still missed it. How patient. You see, my following is radically conditioned. We need him to break that. And here's where it all turns today. Moses didn't give you that bread, says Jesus. The Father gives you the true bread. Now, what was the bread in Exodus 16 that was rained down from heaven? What was all that sign? Remember, he says, you didn't see the signs. You didn't see what those signs meant, what they pointed to. Signs point to a reality. Jesus says, only God gives that bread. And you know what that bread is? Dear listener, you know what that bread is? Jesus says, I am the bread of God. It's he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am that bread. I didn't come to give you physical food. I didn't come primarily just to be a sign worker and a thrill seeker for you so that you could be thrill seekers following me. That's not why I primarily came. I came not just to make you full today with turkey. I came to be your bread. I came to satisfy your souls. I'm the only one who can give life and life abundantly. I came to fill your life. I want you totally and completely filled with me, says Christ. I want you to have me, just like when you're hungry and warm bread is satisfying and you're eating that today. All of that is to teach you that I am satisfying to the taste buds of your soul. And now we begin to see what the miracle is describing. When people ate the physical food, they ate as much as they wanted. What they experience physically is a sign of what can really be experienced and really received spiritually in your life. You can stop all the searching. You can stop all the emptiness. You can find true joy and fulfillment, not in the flesh, not in all these physical things. Sure, they're wonderful blessings. But Jesus says, as you eat and you drink me. The hardest reality in this section is how they respond to this. Jesus says that, you know, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. He's talking about spiritually. They hear that and they complain when they hear Jesus say, I am the bread come down from heaven. In fact, it was so hard for them when he said, "The bread I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. He who eats this bread, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever." When they heard that, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" I'm not so convinced, my friends, they didn't just get what he was saying. As much as they were thinking, "Is this man saying all my satisfaction, all my fulfillment, all my life must be given to him, and I must find satisfaction in him?" Oh, I believe they knew what he was saying. "Nothing else can satisfy your soul in this life other than me," says Jesus. And ultimately, they knew what he was saying. He didn't come to give them the bread that their unregenerate hearts wanted. What he was saying is, he didn't come to give them a kingdom now with prosperity now. Jesus was calling them to be a part of his kingdom as he took his seat as king over their lives. That they didn't want that. And from that time on, we read, many went back and followed him no more. You see, that's the test that's before us this morning. Even as many of us today will stuff our faces with physical food. Philip, where will you get bread? Maybe in hard times. Those are real challenging questions physically. And a few loaves and fish won't cut it, right? Where will you get bread? What bread are you talking about? Well, a lot of people have excuses. You know, let me go bury my father first. What will you do for me, Lord, if I follow? If you change the circumstance in my life, then that's false following, and you have made Jesus subservient and a servant to your carnal desires. If that's your Christianity, it's no Christianity, because it's a false Jesus. He turns his back and he walks away from people like this. So, dear listener, where will you buy bread? I hope now you see we're not talking about physical bread. We're talking about, where will you be truly satisfied and nourished in the soul? The whole Bible always presented the answer to that. You want to know the most beautiful passage that explains that? Listen to Isaiah 55. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Isn't that what Christ is saying today? Wasn't that what Christ here is pleading when he says, "Don't labor for the food which perishes. Labor for your homes and all these other things that can satisfy." He says, "Labor for that which endures to everlasting life." It's me. I didn't come to give you a different bread. I am the bread for your souls. Eat and drink me. Be satisfied in me, says Jesus, and you will live. That's what he wants from us, no matter the circumstance. So much so that if in 1 hour, like Job, I lost my house, my children, my country, my wealth, my health, and I'm scratching the scabs off my body, I'm full. And I'm thankful on Thanksgiving because I have him. I'm satisfied and filled because I've been given him. It's then you know you're really following. It's at moments like this you know you're really satisfied, when you can say, when troubles around me swell, my soul will rest satisfied in you, O Lord. I come and I eat what is good. My soul delights itself in you, O Christ, my Lord and my God. Bounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you and these radio broadcasts. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.